Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church. Please feel free to peruse the announcements in the back of the bulletin. I was asked to let you know that the new portals of prayer are in. I believe they are in the back, so please feel free to grab one of those on your way out. God's blessing on your worship this morning. Please join us in singing our opening hymn, number 587. Please stand for confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us,
renew us,
and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Your testimonies are wonderful.
Therefore, my soul keeps them.
The unfolding of your words gives light.
It imparts understanding to the simple.
I open my mouth and pant.
Because I long for your commandments.
Turn to me and be gracious to me.
As is your way with those who love your name.
Keep steady my steps according to your promise.
And let no iniquity get dominion over me.
Redeem me from man's oppression.
That I may keep your precepts.
Make your face shine upon your servant.
And teach me your statutes.
My eyes shed streams of tears.
Because people do not keep your law.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the source of all that is just and good, nourish us in every virtue, every good intent, that we may grow in grace and bring forth the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our readings. The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live. And go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving to you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." For what great nation is there that has a God so near it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?' Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.'" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you,
We confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed printed on the inside cover of your bulletin. I believe
in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for our sermon hymn, number 566.
By grace I'm saved, grace free and boundless, my soul believes. Were not my end. grace on this, I'll rest when dying. In Jesus' promise I rejoice, for though I know my heart's condition, I also know my Savior's voice. My heart is glad, all grief has flown, since I am saved by grace alone.
Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, if there's one thing that I've learned after almost a decade and a half in the military, it's that wearing a bunch of armor and carrying a weapon sounds really cool until you have to do it for 10 kilometers. Back in 2007, when I was going through initial entry training, there came a day when it was my turn to be my platoon's machine gunner. And 19-year-old me was pretty psyched about it. That was until I picked up the platoon's M240 Bravo medium-range machine gun, which weighs 28 pounds without the ammunition. Then I was handed 500 rounds of linked ammunition, another 16 pounds. And then a stabilizing bipod, another 7 or 8 pounds. And then a spare barrel, another 7 or 8 pounds. And then standard load of rucksack, flak vest with plates, pistol and ammunition, extra uniform, extra boots, helmet, water, food, rope, maps, compass, gloves, eye protection, knee and elbow pads, a uniform with long sleeves, heavy boots, and a heat index of about 117 degrees. I don't know if they do that in the Air Force or not. Yeah, they do that. Okay. And then at the end of the march, you actually have to have enough energy to set up the machine gun and actually fight. Needless to say, I was not about that life. And I think it was at that moment that I became destined to join the tank corps. Because after all, why carry your own equipment when your equipment can carry you? In our epistle reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 6, St. Paul instructs us, his readers, to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Paul is bringing into the mind of the Ephesians the image of the warrior. You know, an image that the Ephesians would have been well acquainted with due to the city's repeated history of rebellion and conquest by both the Greeks and the Romans. Now, St. Paul isn't describing a Greek hoplite or a Roman legionnaire, but a Christian warrior, one who bears the weapons of Christ on the spiritual battlefield in a fight where defeat is not an option. And just like with earthly weapons and armor, the equipment that the Christian bears doesn't come without its own burdens and requires great strength in order to wield effectively. There are, I think, three things that make a person an effective warrior. The first, as I've mentioned before, is strength. It also requires a warrior's skill, the use of one's strength combined with years of training in order not only to carry your weapons and armor, but to use them effectively, both to defend yourself as well as to inflict as much damage on the enemy as possible. And the third thing that makes a warrior is courage. Not just a willingness to go into situations that may be life-threatening, but also the ability to remain calm and free from panic, able to think clearly amidst the noise and the chaos of the battlefield. And all three of these things require discipline to be instilled and maintained, which, as Hebrews 12 tells us, is usually a very unpleasant process, the gaining of discipline. But in turns, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to all who have been trained by it. And then, after one has attained all of these things, they become a lifelong commitment, a way of life to keep your senses sharp, your shield ready, and your sword arm strong. Now, all of these things may seem a little strange when you think about the other passages of God's Word that describe Christians in terms of our weaknesses, because indeed we are weak. We are sinful people who rarely seem to put up much of a fight when it comes to the sin and the evil that so often flare up in our lives. Those sinful things that come out of a person that Jesus describes in our gospel reading this morning that defile us. And then there's the physical weakness that plagues us, whether it be physical illness, mental illness, or simply the realities of aging that keep us from being as strong as we used to be when we were younger. These things are certainly a reality, and they're part and parcel of living in a sinful and dying world with sinful and dying bodies. Even St. Paul himself, the author of our epistle reading today, experienced this. He was writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He talks about a thorn in his flesh that constantly plagued him and which he asked God to remove from him three times. And three times God said no, that the thorn was going to stay where it was, and that Paul was strong nevertheless because his strength didn't come from his own body or his own mind. It came from Christ alone. Christ, whose power is made perfect in weakness, just as his own power over all things was made perfect and absolute as he hung dying on the cross. And yet, in our reading from Ephesians chapter 6, Paul's words telling us to be strong aren't a suggestion, they're a command. It seems that for the Christian, there is one area of life where weakness isn't an option. Not in the realm of flesh and blood, because weakness is always going to be there in some form or another. You know, one might be tempted to make the case that Paul is saying that faith is the one area of our life where we can't afford to be weak, but that too is clearly a losing battle. Our faith is often weak, often tested, and we are often too soon to doubt, too quick to despair. Like the man with the sick child in Mark chapter 9, we are too often caught up in the space between faith and doubt, saying to Christ, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And so while our faith should be strong, and we pray that it should become stronger still, this too is an area of our lives that falls prey to the same weaknesses that attack our flesh. No, according to our text, Paul isn't condemning weakness in our flesh, although we should strive to be physically strong as much as we are able, take care of the body God's given to us. Nor is he condemning weakness in our faith, although, again, we should pray that God would continue to strengthen and uphold us in faith toward him. If Paul were saying these things, he would be commanding us to look at ourselves, to trust in our own physical abilities, or to place faith in our faith rather than in God. And it is in God that Paul tells us to be strong. Because in God, even weakness itself is strength. Indeed, the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men, just as the foolishness of God is stronger than men. In God, and in God alone, there is true strength. Strength enough to utterly destroy and to put to flight the vast enemy army arrayed against us. An enemy that Paul says is not made of flesh and blood, but is rather the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That is to say, the enemy that we face is none other than the devil himself and those who willingly serve him and do his will. Against such an enemy, there is no place for human weakness. It simply will not do. He is stronger than we are. He is cleverer than we are. He is smarter than we are. He knows our thoughts and our temptations, many of which he himself places before us. And he is far more committed to defeating us than we are to resisting him. And if we were to rely on our own strength in this fight, we would surely lose. Indeed, it wouldn't be much of a fight at all, as we would either turn tail and run at the first volley, or else defect to his side in the vain hope of escaping his wrath. Because as it turns out, we are incredibly weak, both physically and spiritually. And trusting in our own strength would only invite disaster and a very quick and certain defeat. But as it turns out, and thanks be to God, this battle is not ours to win. As Moses says in Deuteronomy 24, the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. The battle then is not ours, but the Lord's. Thus, Paul tells us not to stand strong in ourselves, but in God, whose own strength more than outmatches any weapon the devil can wield, and who is so strong that he can use something as weak as his son dying on the cross to knock Satan from his throne and reestablish his authority and dominion over all the earth. It is God who is our strength, who gives us armor. He gives us his armor and his weapons to bear against Satan's constant and unrelenting attacks. Attacks that continue throughout our earthly lives, even though Satan knows that his war against humanity has already been lost. Like Saul arming David before the battle with Goliath, God gives us all that we will need, except unlike with Saul and David, the weapons and armor that God gives us actually fit, and they're useful because they have been forged with us in mind. The belt of truth, the first piece of equipment that a warrior puts on that holds all of his other equipment, just as our Christian lives flow from the truth of Christ's words. Shoes for our feet to keep us ready to carry us as we spread the gospel of peace. The shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, tools designed to protect the heart and the head. Just as the peace of God guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Not a defensive piece of equipment, but a weapon. Made for the attack, as the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, strikes down our spiritual enemy and eviscerates his false promises and deceptions, exposing them as the lies that they truly are. And finally, Paul ends this passage by exhorting us to keep alert at all times with perseverance, like a good and faithful soldier, eyes constantly scanning the horizon, scouring the tree line for signs of enemy activity so as not to be caught off guard. Again, I can tell you from experience that while weapons and armor are super cool, they are also super heavy. After carrying them for a while, you get tired, you get weary, you get exhausted, you sweat, and all you can think about is when you'll finally be able to stop, rest, take them off, and put them down. We can't bear the armor of God on our own. It would be just as ineffective as if we were carrying nothing at all. But God in His grace, who is our strength, not only gives us these weapons, but gives us the strength to carry them. He disciplines us and trains us in their use so that they can be wielded effectively and serve us well, defending us while proving lethal to the enemy. He gives us hearts of courage to bear them bravely, trusting not in the strength of our own arm, but in the strength of His, which He uses to scatter the proud enemy in the thoughts of his heart. Paul uses all of this warrior imagery to make this point, a point that God, through His Spirit, drives into us from our baptism until our death. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Be fervent in prayer. Be students of the Word. Believe that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then, having been firmly planted on God's strength rather than on your own, don your armor, heft your shield, draw your sword, and get in the fight. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise for our offertory.
what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of the Holy Spirit at work in the truth, in the word of truth, that by his direction we would not stray from the way of God's commandments, nor forget the wonderful blessings he has given to us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For preachers of the word, that the Lord would remember them in his kindness and strengthen them for faithful service, and that he would send new laborers into his harvest and prosper his law and promises throughout the world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors and teachers, parents and grandparents, and all teachers of the faith, that through them we may grow into wisdom and the knowledge of God's love in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who bear public office, that God would give them wisdom, courage, and integrity, and for our nation, that God would destroy and hinder in our common lives whatever is not pleasing to him and prosper all that accords with his will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all in need of health, healing, and mercy, including Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, Norma, Justin, Ted, Pastor Carl Rockroar, the family of Roger Helberg, and the family of Steve Hurst, that the Lord of life would strengthen them with his word of grace, to look to him for comfort in the midst of suffering and pain. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who come to the Holy Sacrament today, that receiving Christ's true body and blood in this supper, they may remember and proclaim with joy the salvation he accomplished for us by his death and resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God,
Heavenly Father, we offer you our thanks and praise for your servants who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labors. Bring us with them to the unspeakable joys of your new heavens and new earth at the day of our Savior's glorious appearing. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace.
Welcome to the Lord's table. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout the days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Please join in singing our closing hymn, number 559.